26 verse 12. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we are drawing near the cross, Lord, that we may feast at your table. We ask you, Lord, that you would take every thought captive so that we could center our thoughts on you, therefore be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, help us right where we are, because you told us you're a very present help in the time of need. So, Lord, we need to hear from you. And as I stand here, Lord, only as a willing vessel, knowing that without your consecration, I could not even be used. So, Lord, consecrate me, that I may be fit to be used by such an awesome God. Help me, Lord, to remain humble, that you may have your way. And after all is said and done, Father, we, your body, we promise to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Be glorified through your word. Come and edify us through your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We praying? All right. Beginning at verse number 12 of the 26th chapter, Luke is writing concerning an account of Paul. And it reads, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun, shining all around me. And those who journeyed with me, when all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you persecuting. But arise. But rise.'" Tell your neighbor, arise. "Arise. And stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by by faith in me. Those that are sanctified by faith, which means the believing system, in Jesus. If you believe, shout, I believe. All right, now flip over to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 21. When you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Beginning at verse 21, it says, I find then, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, he says, I find then a law that evil is present with me. Wait a minute. Paul, the writer of all this gospel, all the truth, all these letters, he says, the one that got knocked off the horse, the one that talked to Jesus, he says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. How many of you are willing to do good?
Amen.
For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Looking at these two texts, I want you to really focus on this thing. I've got victory in my mind. Tell your neighbor. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In this text, it is so enriched with humanness, yet points to godliness. Paul begins to talk to us, and just so you know, Paul was converted from Saul, and in the ninth chapter of Acts, it tells this story. Luke describes what happened to Saul while he was crossing, going down Damascus Road. He has an encounter with the Lord. It is only at this time that Paul has a memory of what God has done. I want you to know, when I say this time, I want you to know that there was a situation in which Paul was engrafted into. He didn't do anything wrong, yet wrong had seemed to follow him and find him. So then, he is locked up in prison for something that he did not do. And the accusations that had gone out against him were all lies. But yet he finds himself in prison. And then the Roman law was that once you're in prison, when your accuser brings forth the accusation, if it's believed by the judge, then you are executed. So he's on death row for something that he did not even do. I would believe that that is a situation that would pressure you and it would pressure me to remember what God has done for me. That's why I understand that Paul, in the midst of all that he's going through, he has a flashback on what God had done for him. So he flashes back because there's a meeting that's taken place in this 26th chapter. The accusers that had accused him of doing so much wrong, they brought them forward and said, now you have to stand before him. What did he do? Because of God being who he is, and he exposes the accuser, when the accusers came forward, they had nothing to say. There was nothing that they could say about the man of God, the lie that they had told to get him there, when to keep him there. When it came to time to keep him there, they had nothing that they could say. Because God is judge of all things, and God is ruler of all things. And no matter what anybody says about you, they could never change who you are, because God is the one who changed your name in the first place. You belong to God, and you do not belong to a system of accusations. You do not even belong to the lies that your mind has been telling you from time to time. Now, let me tell you real quick some of the things that happen in your mind. Things, because we like Paul said, evil is ever present. We keep messing up, and we have come to the place that we have even adapted to, this is just who I am. No, that is not who you are. You might have did what you did, but that's not who you are. You're who God says you are. You are joint heirs with him. With your messing up self, grace saved you and pardoned you from every mess up. He lifted you up above. Arise above that. You are above that. So arise above and be who he said you are, instead of being what they said you are. Paul is a face now, because the king, They send King Agrippa to deal with him. So Festus sends King Agrippa and his wife, and he has to go before them. Agrippa and Bernice have to go. He has to go before them and talk about what has happened. So King Agrippa brings Paul. He says, I want to talk to him myself. Now, the king, he wanted to talk to him because he knew the background of Paul when he was Saul. He knew that he had studied all the laws. He knew everything about the laws and the scribe. He had studied all that stuff. He was wise. He knew all the Roman custom. He spoke several languages. That brother could get down. He was sharper than a double-edged razor. He could walk into a courtroom and persuade anybody to do anything, because he knew the law in such a way. In his mind, he had it all together. And King Agrippa said, let me tap into this brother who is so intellectual. And Paul says to him, at midday, I had an encounter with Jesus. Wait a minute. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I'm sure Agrippa said, you got a life sentence over you. And Paul don't want to talk about the accusation. He don't want to talk about the accuser. He wants to have a talk about Jesus. Oh, goodness. Now get this. King Agrippa, now his name literally means one who causes great pain from birth. He's talking to a king that's been causing great pain from the time he entered the earth. And he's locked up in jail. And he's got the death sentence. Can you imagine the pressure he must have been under? Yeah, that's what we go through. All the pressures of life that we get up under, and our problem is we look so much at the pressure instead of the one who can rescue it, and we begin to talk about the thing that is holding us instead of the thing that has already loosed us. And Paul begins to talk about Jesus. Listen, when he began to talk about Jesus, that changed everything. He begins to tell him about when he was walking down the road one day, going out to kill and persecute Christians. He described all the wrong stuff that he was doing and how God knocked him down and had a conversation with him. Now, if you understand that every one of us have been in the same shoes that Saul was in. When we were living in the world, we were doing some of everything. And get this, even when we knew better, we didn't even want to do no better. Because all we wanted to do is what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it to make us feel just a little bit better. And if anybody wanted to tell us something about what we did, then we had an attitude because, oh, you don't know. You ain't never been young before. I'm just, how you gonna tell? That's just my dad. He don't know nothing. See, that's what happens to us. The Bible says man's wisdom is really foolishness. And most of us, when we learn a little bit about the Lord, we get all caught up in what we know. Isn't that something? That the church, who was just as sinful and doing everything out there, all of a sudden, they've been to church three times. You just as holy and so blessed. You ever meet anybody that just blessed all the time? Don't never go through no hardship. Oh, how you doing? I'm just so blessed to be here. I'm looking through the Bible, and Paul, that's what I consider blessed. Who can go through everything that he went through, and he called it a light affliction. That's what I call blessed. But here, Paul doesn't even say that, oh, I'm just all good. Paul said, evil is ever present, and there's a war going on inside of me, and I'm trying to keep from losing my mind, and at the same time, I'm watching to see who's watching me, because there's stuff going on in my mind that don't line up with the will of God. Oh, this thing appears. Assuming the believer. But we are not moved by our minds. We are moved by the Spirit of the living God. And the Spirit of God does not need your permission in when to show up. As a matter of fact, you wasn't looking for Jesus. He was always with you. He had claimed you when you were crazy as a loony bin. Thank you, Lord. When you were doing all you could out in the world. Thank you, Lord. God had already claimed you. And if you're anything like I was, the more he talked to me, the faster I ran. I was a track star. But I could not run God. Because there's an appointed time when God claims you and he delivers you. And so he gives Paul this spirit. And he's given us the same spirit. And that spirit dwells in the heart. That spirit rules us. We do not rule the spirit. Amen. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God rules you. You do not rule the Spirit. So when the Spirit gets ready to do something with you, it does not ask you for permission. And you cannot tell the Spirit what to do. But that's a habit that we have got to get loose from. Because we know it all. We want to tell the Spirit how to move our life. And the Spirit said, no, I'm going to do it the way I need to do it. Because if I do it your way, you're going to stay stuck right where you are. But if I do it my way, I can pull you into a more consecrated relationship with me. And as I draw you closer to me, the fire that's in me begins to burn you. And that's why it hurts so bad. And none of us would come closer to God if it was up to us. So then he sends King Agrippa in our life to bring great pain. And so we get up under this pain. First thing our mind tells us, and you just wink at me if I'm right. First thing our mind tells us, God, what'd I do? God, what's wrong? God, I thought I. God, you said. And it makes it all about you. That's how our mind works. God doesn't allow pain to happen in your life to make it about you. It's about him. The reason why God allows this stuff is so that you will get centered in him. Do you understand? If you just try to use your spiritual imagination, the mindset that Paul must have had as he's fighting and dealing with all the pain. But in the middle of him warring within himself, do you see what he's doing? And he's warring. He said, in my mind, and I'm trying to do it, and I'm still wrapped up in this body, but my mind is going here, my mind is going there. And then he said, thanks be to God. All of a sudden, while his crazy mind was spinning, while his body was going nuts, all of a sudden his spirit man, it just awakened and took like muscle control and took power over everything that he was thinking in his mind. And all of a sudden, he just wanted to thank God. Is there anybody in here that just want to thank God just for getting you here today? Just want to thank him just for being who he is. Just want to thank him that he took you from one state to another state and that you're still here to give him praise. Paul, he focuses in on not where he is, but who God is. Now get this. God is always up to something. And in order for God to get you to where he's already promised you, he's got to get you to see it first. But your mind, somebody say my mind. Your mind gets so stuck on here. You ever start off somewhere? See, right now we got phones that have a navigation system. But you ever start off somewhere? See, back in the day, we didn't have that. So I'd be driving, and I get in the middle, and I got to check to make sure I'm going in the right direction. And so we get out in the middle, and that's a place. It's a place where God does his best work, in the middle. And none of us like the middle. How many of you have ever said, oh, man, I got to drive way over there? Wouldn't it be nice if I woke up and I didn't have to avoid here and I could just show up there? Wait, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to drive 8 hours to get to the border, that you could just wake up, blink your eye, and be over there? Now you can see where you're supposed to be. But the journey is where the frustration is. So God sets up the promises over your life. And then he has to get you right so that you can see right. Because along life's journey, as you're walking along and minding your business, there are some accusers. That have lied on you. There are some accusers, listen, that have hurt you. You've been through some stuff and you're on life's journey and you're looking ahead, but there's a problem. Because of the things that have happened to you in your life, you have taken your focus off of what God has said and placed it on the very circumstance in where you're stuck right in the middle. How do you know that, preacher? Because you still talk about what's going on in the middle instead of what God has going on for you already. And that's why your mind needs to be delivered from where you are to whose you are. And if you understand whose you are, where you are cannot hold you because of who you are. He's got a magnet on you, and you just gonna go any old way right into the plans of God, because his plans are irrevocable in your life. Somebody shout focus. So focus is important. We're still trying to figure out what went wrong when you got everything that's right. Isn't it something that your mind would begin to focus on what went wrong when you got who's right? And it's his spirit that's alive in you. It's his spirit that's washing your mind. Anybody in here ever make a mistake? I want to talk to the people who will be honest. How many people got saved by God and still sinned? You've been saved? Oh, yeah. God saved me. I'm delivered from the world. Yeah, but you're not delivered from this mindset. So he said, Paul says, he's God tells him, I'm pulling you out from the Jews and the Gentiles. So what he's talking about is that I'm pulling you out of a way of thinking. The culture in which you have operated before, you cannot operate in that culture and be victorious. Amen. That's why, listen, anytime that you're sad and frustrated, and it feels like you're getting depressed, you want to know why? Because you've allowed the pressures of life to can you. You got all the pressures of life. And I look at it. It's like, you know how they take this fragrance and they put it inside of a can? And they begin to pressurize the can? And all the fragrance is inside the can. And you could get the can and look at it. And you could try to smell it, but there's no fragrance. You want to know why there's no fragrance? Because it's under pressure. And it's all locked in. And you are the fragrance anointing of God.
Come on now.
Ah. But he can't get it out until he gets you under. And so he allows stuff to happen in your life that produces pain and pressure. And you're just one push from letting it all out. And God is here to tell me, for me to let you know that he's going to push you today. He's pushing you out of your mind. And guess what? Even an aerosol can has enough praise in it that when you push it, it makes a noise. Some of you have got to release a noise unto God and let God know that my praise is a fragrance offering unto you. Paul had to be put in a position so that he could tell his story. Because he was being talked to, he was being persecuted, but yet he had a flashback. Do you know, we flashback on so much stuff. Let's flashback on when God first saved you. Remember then? All you wanted to talk about was Jesus. You didn't care who sat in front of the church. You didn't care who wore a short dress. You didn't care what the ushers did. You didn't care what the pastor did. All you cared about is that Jesus has saved your life. And that's what the church has to do. Just have a flashback on how Jesus saved you so that you can think about him instead of about all the crazy stuff that's going on in your life. Can you just think about what Jesus did for you? What did Jesus do for you? He walked around with you. He went into the clubs with you. He fought when you was out there fighting and trying to be a gangster. He was with you. When you were gossiping and lying, he was still with you. And he stayed with you until he said, now it's time. And then he saves you and gives you a fresh start. Now check this out. That's the mind he wants us to have, so that we don't look at people and judge them. Yeah, they're talking about you. So why you hate them? Why you mad at them? Why you mad at the people that did you wrong? Walking around still mad. Mad at something giving it power to hold you right where you are. You are focused on something that is holding you instead of focused on something that is delivering you. And so as we focus on the thing that's holding us, it sends memories to our mind. And our mind begins to move with what we think about. Come here, Rudy. If you think about what's holding you, they did this to me, and he did that to me, and I don't know why this is going on with me, you are really holding on to what's holding you. How about this? I've been set free. And then they say, well, the accusations still come. But when I got freedom, I was taught no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. But the power of God now worketh in me. And the last time I looked, the Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow me. So if you're going to look in your rearview mirror, come on, goodness and mercy. We got somewhere to go. I don't have time because I can't see nothing else back there. All I can see is goodness and mercy that's ushering me along the way so I can get to the victory that God has already promised me. Amen. Our minds causes us to focus. Do you know that God has allowed everything to happen in your life?
Yes. Amen.
I was thinking about the enemy is the accuser. Have you ever been talking about what somebody did to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recently, too. Check this out. And so now check this out. I was talking to somebody. They said, well, you know, whenever you point the finger at somebody, there's three pointing at you.
Amen.
One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Spirit. So God is saying, don't point at them, because this is about me and you. Well, wait. No, the fingers are pointing at me. So why you say it's about me and him? Well, your biggest finger is pointing to him. Do you understand? When you point at somebody, your biggest finger you got is pointing to him.
Amen.
The other three are telling you that he got you. Amen. When you understand that this is about you and him and not about what people have done to you, and your mind begins to change. Oh, wait a minute. Those were my escorts. If it wasn't for them, then how would I know God as the deliverer? Wait. If it wasn't for all of my mess up, Paul says, then I never could have met Jesus on the road and seen the bright light. Because I would have thought everything was bright already. But because of our mess ups, it allows us to see God for who he is. He's the deliverer. He's the sanctifier. And he's the one who's changing us day by day to get us to where he promised. I want to talk to the people who are tired of all the delays. Yeah. Is there anybody in here that's tired of the delay? Yeah. You know the promises of God, but you're just tired of the delays. Is that anybody in here?
Yeah.
Is that anybody in here? Yeah. Y'all gonna talk to me today. Yeah. Is there anybody in here? Yeah. You know, first thing we have to understand is focus. And your focus has to be on God. And I'm not talking about God's hand. I'm talking about God's heart. Do you realize that we always pray to God and ask for his hand? I want your hand in this. I want your hand in that. God, help me here. God, help me there. God, help me there. Armani ran up to me the other day, and I was tired. And you know his little legs. He's only 4 years old. He got all that energy. And he runs up on me, and he says, Daddy, pick me up. God said, that's what you should do.
Amen. Amen.
Quit trying to figure it out. Why don't you just come up to me and ask me to hold you for a little while? Have you ever tried to just hear the heartbeat of God? God, I just want to hear your heartbeat. So the first thing we have to do is put our focus on him. The second thing, Paul's position changed. When he went from Saul to Paul, his position changed. And a lot of us, we've been called into the body of Christ, but our focus has been on so much that we have not positioned ourselves in him. And you're wondering why there's so many delays. Well, in your mind is all over the place. You're out of position. And you say, well, God, I'm waiting for you to bless me. And God gets ready to bless you, and you run over here, and the blessing falls over there, and you've been moved over here because your mind is telling you something to do. Have you ever thought for a minute that when you're hearing from God and there's other voices trying to tell you stuff and God's telling you, put one foot in front of the other and you just going with God and then you hear the crowd out there and all of a sudden you hear the crowd and you start going with the crowd before you even know you're going with the crowd because it sounds so good to you. That means you have come out of position. When you're positioned with God, you won't care when you arrive. You'll just be glad he's with you. And you'll know that you will arrive. I know that I'm going to arrive because he showed me. My question is, what do you see? Do you see the power of God in your life, or do you feel the power of your past in your life? Your past will hold you right where you are. Now, Paul admits it. I'm battling. Is there anybody in here battling? Yeah. I'm battling. Battling will put you in position. And look, and a lot of times, you know, it's not about what you do. It's about who's doing you. And so we have to bow down to God and say, Lord, here I am. And look, and you don't have to run. You can stay right where you are and get delivered from the thing that's been holding you for years. Yes. And you don't have to learn 499 scriptures to do it. You just got to be able to hear the voice of God by listening to the heart of God, and then the Spirit of God will usher you into where he's already promised you. Come on now. Let me give you a picture of that. Anybody ever watch Star Trek? You know, when they get ready to go to the next dimension, you ever see them travel? Huh? They don't just run around and then end up there. They have to position themselves. And then Captain Kirk will get over here and wait. But he can't do nothing until he's in position. And see, God won't do it until you get in position. And your mind has been out of position. And he says, I'm going to sanctify your mind so that you can know that I'm in charge. And when you know that I'm in charge, you'll get in the right position. And the same way Captain Kirk was going to look over and say, all right, I'm in position. Beam me up, Scotty. You need to say, God, I'm in position. Beam me up, Jesus. Is there anybody in here that's ready to get in position and let God have his way with you? Beam me up, Jesus. Beat me up, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
It's once you make it up in your mind that I am positioned in him and he is positioned in me, I don't have to worry about what's going on, because in me, I got it going on. And because it's going on, I can change the things out here if I focus on the inward man. The inward man has more power than the exterior man. And so you can call those things that are not as though they were, and they shall become, because you're not speaking from here. You are speaking from the power of God which dwells in you. Listen, Paul picks up his pen and took off running. He ran down to the church of Corinth around the 15th chapter, 57th verse. He said, thanks be to God who's through Christ Jesus has given me the victory. See, Paul got it even though there was war going on. His spirit took control. Listen, your situation may look out of control, but it's only for you to tap into your spirit, which is in control. And that's what sanctifies your mind. When you know that God is who he said he is, and he's met every promise that he's ever promised, and God could do everything except for fail you. So you ought to get happy about whatever's going on, because he has it going on inside of you, and what's in you will manifest in the world. Everybody rest to your feet.